Welcome to Carolina's Mortgage Radio with Brandon Kohlberg, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and TKK's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Brandon Kohlberg has been a mortgage advisor for over 14 years and is ready to assist you. Call Brandon now at 704-999-6646. Visit carolinasmortgageradio.com. And now, here is your host, Brandon Kohlberg.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for tuning in to Carolina's Mortgage Radio Show, the number one show for mortgage and real estate. We got a great show lined up for you this morning. We've got Johnny K with Arrow Home Inspection Service, our local to Rock Hill home inspector, doing lots of home inspections for a few decades here in the business. And obviously, we're transitioning into the fall and winter months, so seasons changing, even though you wouldn't quite realize it. It's still 98 degrees outside. Johnny, how is it a lot more problematic going into attics and crawl spaces in the heat like this?
Yeah, anytime it's 98 degrees outside, it'll be about 140 or 150 in an attic.
Wow.
It's brutal.
Yeah, that sounds brutal. Hey, but we really appreciate you being here with us in studio. Kind of give us a background of your experience as a home inspector, kind of maybe even how you got into the business, you know, years ago, and let's kick it off that way.
Okay, well, thank you for letting me come in today.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, basically, well, I grew up in a construction family. My dad was a builder, and so I've been around this all my life.
Yep.
And just eventually transitioned into it, after doing years of corporate.
Yeah.
And just came back to do what I love to do.
Right.
Which is look at homes, look at construction.
Yeah.
Be around job sites. And, yeah, I've been doing this now, I guess, it's getting near 25 years now.
Yeah.
Been a while.
Long time.
Yep, it has. And things have changed. Construction's changed. I'm native to the area, born and raised here in Rock Hill. And
yeah.
I've seen all the changes in Rock Hill, Fort Mill.
I'm sure Indian you've seen
Lynn.
It. And there's been a lot.
Lot of changes. And a lot of good things happening.
Right. So, you know, you started a construction family. You know, you go in the corporate world for a little bit. You come back. What all does it take to become a home inspector? You know, back then, these days, obviously there's, you know, you're looking at everything on a house from, you know, A to Z. What all certifications, you know, does it take, and what type of, education and time are you looking at to become a home inspector?
Well, the good thing in my situation was I grew up around this.
Yeah.
And so that really helped, with the experience from that.
Right.
Which I'm glad they're doing now. They do have classes mm-hmm. that you have to attend.
Yeah.
They also have exams that you have to take. They have field supervised.
Yeah.
Ride along inspections.
Sure.
And of course, the state licensing, continuing education in some states. North Carolina is one of the states I'm licensed in as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have to do continuing education every year. There are classes that are simply available that you can learn from now. And, there's associations you can join.
Right.
That'll help with, getting you some experience and assisting you in things that a relatively new home inspector may run into.
Yeah. So as a seasoned veteran of home inspections, is that something that, you know, you partake in? Do you help maybe train, aspiring home inspectors as part of your business, or are you looking to hire anybody like that? I mean, is there like some type of plan to do that?
Well, I have done that in the past.
Yeah.
But I've stayed a one-man show.
Yeah.
And, I've helped some folks and, helped them get into the business. And I've had some ride-alongs.
Yeah.
To let some of these, training inspectors, so to speak.
Right.
See what I do during an inspection.
Yeah.
And it's actually quite involved. A couple of days ago, I had a client that attended the inspection.
Mm-hmm.
They were there the entire time. And toward the end, he was just like, I had no idea what all this entailed.
Yeah.
And they're quite detailed anymore. There are certain things that we have to do now by standards of practice.
Right.
And it takes time, but it's worth it because it benefits the client.
Yeah, we definitely want to get into all those details. So if you have any questions, during or after the show regarding home inspections, please give us a call, 704-999-6646. We've got Johnny K, home inspector, here in studio with us. So when it comes to, you know, you talked about, you know, being so in depth and it is so involved. So going back to your experience as, you know, getting started in construction, family business, what made you gravitate to getting on the home inspection side and maybe out of like the actual building side?
Yeah, basically, it was just the market.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could say the market demand, it, you know, it comes down to supply and demand.
Always does.
And I think when I first got into this, there were, I think, 5 or 6 home inspectors in York County.
Wow.
That was it.
How many are there now, you think?
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's quite a few now. The business has changed. I mean, you know, the demand and supply, again, it just drives the market.
Sure.
And with the growth in the area, the Charlotte metro area, so to speak, it's just been phenomenal.
Yeah, and we talk about the growth all the time on the show and what it means for our local market. You know, Rock Hill, Fort Mill, Charlotte, one of the best, you know, fastest growing areas in the U.S.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's really surprising to see because knowing what it was when I was growing up.
Sure.
It's just so different now.
Sure.
But a lot of good things are happening here.
Yeah. Fantastic. So let's kind of start at the beginning with the home inspection process. A lot of people buying houses, whether it's an existing home or new construction, they go through the question, should I have a home inspection? Should people have a home inspection?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the biggest questions I get or most often asked is, you know, is new construction. Why do I need a home inspection?
Right.
I actually do a lot of new construction. I do it in two phases. Some people have me come in and do a pre-drywall inspection, which is before anything, any insulation, any drywall goes up.
So you're looking at the framing, how they've built it. Yeah.
Rough end plumbing, electrical, heating and air systems, foundation, slab. And that gives you a good look at what the, you know, what the walls are going to look like, the exterior walls, because they're going to be covered.
Right.
And then when you're going on the finals, you know, you can't see it. Same thing with the plumbing, the electrical. There's just things at that point in time that that's the only opportunity you'll have to be able to see them.
Right.
And new construction, you know, it's not anything that's, you know, that's guaranteed perfect. There's still going to be issues with it.
Yeah, 100%.
And, you know, anybody buying a new home should get a home inspection.
Yeah, so let's start at the we'll start with new construction. So you were referring to like the framing inspection, the pre-drywall. What are the things what are the issues that you see in that phase that you're able to, when someone hires you to do a home inspection, you're able to end up saving them a lot of maybe cost down the road, maybe headaches. What are those things that are in that particular phase?
Probably what I run into most often on new construction would be dealing with the engineered roof trusses.
Yeah.
A lot of times on new construction, you'll find a damaged roof truss.
Okay.
And it usually happens during construction.
Yeah, you go into a new construction neighborhood, you see these big, huge, you know, cranes. You know, picking these the roof trusses up. They're not stick built or, you know, built individually. They're built in a, you know, manufacturing facility and they're delivered on a truck and they got this big crane that will, you know, attach a chain to it and kind of deliver it right on top of the house. So certainly some things can go wrong in that process.
Absolutely. It can get banged around. It could hit other trusses.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, that is one of the things I see. And, you know, it's easier to fix it then than it is when you have the finished product.
Sure.
Because it's easier to get to, easier to identify. And, you know, even though you have to have anytime you have an engineered product that needs repair, modification, or is damaged, you know, it typically needs to be repaired by a structural engineer.
Yeah.
With a letter of repair to accompany that.
Right.
And that, again, it's just the easiest time to do it is before, you know, the drywall and insulation goes up.
Okay, fantastic. Any other things that you know, kind of jump out at you during that particular inspection?
Sometimes foundation.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, whether it's crawl space, slab on grade, monolithic type slab. Sometimes you'll see cracks.
Right.
Sometimes you'll see some piers that are not in contact with the floor framing.
Right.
You may see some missing anchor bolts, you know, that fasten the actual walls to the foundation.
Right. A lot of buyers get completely freaked out when they see like a crack. Does that always indicate something's wrong, or is that sometimes okay? What does that look like?
Well, there again, it depends on the crack.
Right.
Concrete companies guarantee you two things. Concrete is going to get hard and it'll crack.
Right.
But just from my experience and from talking with engineers, there's certain indicators that they look at before they get concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And that's whether or not the crack may be, usually a rule of thumb is like a quarter of an inch wide.
Okay.
Or if there's any lateral displacement or vertical displacement in a slab or lateral displacement in the wall.
Okay.
Then, you know, you might want to look at a structural engineer for that.
Yeah.
And occasionally you do see that. Not all the time, but sometimes you do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's one of the things that anytime I see a crack in a foundation, I'm going to take a picture of it.
Right.
So we got documentation of what it looks like now so they can see as they get in the home, you know, is it changing?
Right.
Is it something going on?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Great point. You know, be on the lookout. Doesn't necessarily mean an issue. Obviously, call Johnny K. Get him to take a look at it, and then you want to keep an eye on it for any changes or growth.
Yeah, because, you know, you can't predict what's going to happen.
Right.
But, you know, as you get into a home and you start putting all the loads and all the systems working together, you know, things are going to change.
Yeah, excellent. So we get through that, like you said, new construction, kind of a two-inspection process, pre-drywall, and then when it's complete, is that
the final?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are we looking for on new construction on that final home inspection?
Basically, you're going to be looking at the structure again. You're going to be looking at the interiors, exterior, heating and air systems, plumbing, foundation again, any evidence of any kind of water intrusion, plumbing leaks. And basically, depending on the time of year, whether it's winter or summer, either run the furnace or you run the air conditioner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and see if it's functioning properly in that mode.
Right.
And
hopefully all the air conditioners out there are functioning properly now.
Well, you do hope so. Good Lord. One thing, and two, you know, we were talking about at the final time, there's one thing that I tend to find in some of these newer homes and really in any home, but more so in newer homes here lately is fungal growth.
Yeah. And that's things like mold and lots of other things, but we all kind of group it in now as fungal growth.
Yeah. Yeah. It gets addressed as fungal growth.
Okay.
And, you know, that may occur in the attic.
Mm-hmm.
And it may occur in the crawl space. Probably the worst thing that we have to deal with here is water.
Yeah.
And moisture. So one of the things, you know, whether it's an existing home or new construction, you look for moisture intrusion, water intrusion in crawl space. Is anything going on, you know, around a slab?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because water just causes so many things to happen.
Yeah.
And none of them are really that good.
Right. Walk us through kind of a few things that water damage can lead to or how water does become intrusive to the foundation, your crawl space, that type of thing.
Okay, with a crawl space foundation, one of the things you have to look for is the grade mm-hmm. around the exterior foundation walls. Is it sloped properly or graded properly so the water will actually be diverted away from the structure?
So you want the grade, the grade of the grass or dirt, whatever, sloping away from the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, there's certain rules they have for that. Basically, within 10 feet, you're supposed to have like a 6-degree slope.
Okay.
As kind of a rule of thumb. You know, and looking at it in a home inspection, you're not going to measure that, but you're just going to look to see if there is a grade that will slope properly to divert the water away from the structure.
Yeah.
Water can come in around drain pipe openings, you know, for the building sewer pipe, the water mm-hmm. pipe. If they're not sealed where they penetrate the foundation wall, water could seep in there. Exterior doors, windows,
mm-hmm.
Water can get in anywhere that's not flashed or sealed properly.
Right.
Some of the things that can happen with that, you're looking at structural damage. you're looking at elevated wood moisture content, and then from elevated wood moisture content, you're looking at damage, and you're looking at potential fungal growth.
Right.
Look for any standing water, you know, in a crawl space. The biggest thing water does is cause damage.
Yeah.
It can damage wood. It can damage drywall, insulation, exterior wall sheathing, roof sheathing if there's a roof leak.
Yeah.
Roof framing if there's a roof leak.
So it sounds like getting a home inspection for potential water damage or water intrusion alone would be well worth it.
Well, it would.
Yeah.
Because it is something that we have to deal with, whether it's on a crawl space or a slab, because
right.
you have exterior openings in the house either way.
Yeah. Hey, you're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. Call us anytime during or after the show. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. You can reach us at 704-999-6646. We're here with Johnny Kay with Arrow Home Inspection Services, talking all about home inspections and all the benefits of buying a home, but making sure that you're well protected against any potential issues, including water damage, like we just discussed, with a professional home inspection. Johnny, speaking of professional home inspection, how does a home buyer go about choosing, you know, the right home inspector? I've actually had clients that I know that have stated to me, "Hey, we're not doing a regular home inspection. My uncle is in the construction business, or he's done this or that within mm-hmm. construction. We want to save a little bit of money." But of course, most of my clients are, of course, getting home inspections. How do we go about choosing the right home inspector? And is that an area where we want to try to cut costs by using Uncle Joe?
Well, that is a good question. The way you posed it is accurate. Probably the best way to choose a home inspector is a personal referral.
Yeah.
That can come from a family member that's bought a house, a neighbor, a friend, realtors.
Real estate agents, yeah.
Yeah. They all have a network. Personal referral is generally one of the best ways.
Yeah.
The other way that that people can look up, for a home inspector is they, of course, can go online. There's two associations that I belong to, Professional Home Inspectors Association. One is American Society of Home Inspectors, and
okay.
the other is Inspector Nation.
Yeah, good to know.
And so both of those are online. Those are the only two I belong to because I just think they serve the home inspection industry well.
Great.
And you can look up your area for a home inspector, and their contact information will be there to call.
Yep.
The second part of that question, I get a lot of phone calls, people calling me up, and the only thing they ask me is, how much do I charge?
Right.
And truthfully, that's not a great way to look for a home inspector.
I agree. People call me up and say, "Hey, how much do you charge for mortgage?" I'm like, not the best question to ask.
Right. And, my advice to them, if the conversation continues, because a lot of people, I'll give them a quote,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of people then they just say, "Okay, I got to make some more phone calls."
Right.
And that's fine.
Right.
But the questions they should ask, how long have you been in business?
Right.
Do you do this full time? What are your qualifications? What are your certifications? And just look for the in-depth experience, of what the inspector can provide, because sometimes you may only be looking at a price difference of $25, $50, $75,
right.
For the home inspection. And you got to determine, am I going to be getting the same thing if I save $50 over here? Or if I pay more over here, what's the dollar value that I'm going to get?
100%. Johnny, there's several things. Well, I think all things are pretty universal in the sense that all people and all things are not considered equal, right? So for my business, I do a lot of rescue loans, rescue mortgages mm-hmm. for someone who started with, ABC Bank, whatever. They got pre-qualified. Maybe they were advertising this, fantastic rate or what have you. Only get to the day of closing and then get denied. And then they're coming to see me, "Hey, save my deal," whatever. So yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm sure it happens in your business too. You know, would you rather save $50 and hire maybe someone who's much less qualified, isn't exactly a professional or expert in the business, and then maybe something happens where a fantastic professional expert home inspector like yourself could have foreseen. Now they're out, you know, $15,000-$20,000 on some damage or what have you, just because they wanted to not ask the right question.
That is true. And, you know, it's just, you just want to make sure, you know, that everybody wants to save money.
Right.
But at the same time, you want to know what you're getting.
Right.
Because you want somebody that's going to work for you, look out for your interest, and give you information about the home that you're getting ready to purchase. Because if you stop and think about it, most folks buying a home, that is the biggest single purchase they will ever make in their life.
Sure.
And, you know, looking for the least expensive person to check it out for you, you just need to look a little deeper.
That's where you want to kind of spend, be a little liberal in that, as far as, you know, I'm willing to spend a little bit more to make sure my investment is well taken care of, well insured. Yeah, I think probably the average home price around our area has got to be at least $250,000, right? So, you know, you're spending at least $250,000, and you want to make sure that you're hiring someone who's going to go in that house, do a full inspection, A to Z, top to bottom, to make sure that what you're buying is going to be there for the foreseeable future without much issue.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
If you have any issues with your home, or you're looking to buy a house, or just want to get a home inspection, be sure to give us a call anytime during or after the show. 704-999-6646. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. We've got Johnny K with Arrow Home Inspection Service here in studio with us. Johnny, when we've got some home buyers that are out looking for houses, is there anything that they can be doing to maybe look ahead at what that home, the issues of the home may be, or anything they can be doing while they're searching for a home to make sure that the home they end up loving the most and writing an offer and wanting to buy doesn't come up with lots of issues down the road?
Sure. I mean, one of the first things I do with my clients is, you know, I ask them, I'm like, okay, you've been to the property. You know, some folks are out of state. They haven't seen the property in person, so to speak. And so they may not have had a walkthrough, you know, when they were looking to put an offer on the house.
Right.
But I always ask folks, you know, you've been in the home. Was there anything that caught your eye? Anything you've seen, anything you saw in disclosure, you know, that may have drawn your attention.
Yeah.
You know, that you want to take a particular look at.
What would some of those things look like? I mean, maybe you want to smell for, you know, some musty smells, or is there something you want to look for as a homeowner? Obviously, we're not home buyers are nowhere near qualified to be a home inspector like yourself. Even some home inspectors aren't as qualified as you. Is there something some of those things that should kind of jump out to your average Joe home buyer?
Yeah, some folks will mention, you know, I saw a water stain.
Okay.
Or, you know, I smelled something in the house.
Okay.
You know, like a musty odor.
Right.
I walked the floor across the floor, and it squeaks.
Yeah.
Cracks.
Mm-hmm.
Trim walls. They may look around the outside, and they may see if, you know, if the house has a brick foundation or brick steps or something, they may see some cracks or separation in the brick.
Right.
That's kind of the handful of, you know, most people, they're looking at the home.
Yeah.
You know, because now they're starting to envision what they want it to look like.
Right.
And so a lot of those things, you know, they're just not looking for that, like you said, but there are some things that they do catch, some things that they already have knowledge of, you know, and I do ask if they have anything like that that they want me to pay particular attention to.
Okay, yeah, fantastic. Good to know. Is there anything these home buyers should be aware of or know before having the home inspection done?
Basically, just knowing in general that the home inspection is a visual inspection.
Yeah.
We're not going there to do any, you know, taking equipment apart, dismantling right. equipment. We're doing a visual, you know, assessment mm-hmm. or evaluation of the house.
Right.
And two, you're looking at a finished product. So there's going to be some things, some areas that you just can't see.
Right.
And if the home is occupied, then also, again, you've got all your personal storage and furnishings in there.
Mm-hmm.
There'll just be areas that you can't see at that time. And what I do is I do advise people that prior to their closing and the house is vacated, go back through the house.
Yeah.
Look at the walls, look at the floors, look inside the cabinets, you know, to see if there's anything that is now evident that wasn't evident before when the house was occupied.
Right. So I mean, it sounds like you do a lot of, you know, just a little bit of a coaching, you know, to the your clients that you do the home inspections for. Even after the home inspection's done, hey, you know, kind of give a template or be sure to look out for, mm-hmm. you know, X, Y, Z. And I think, you know, education from in the real estate mortgage world is just so valuable. I think so many home buyers out there really don't know what they're doing. Obviously, they don't do this on a daily basis like we do with our respective industries. So having that expert kind of being able and willing to walk the client through what we're doing, whether it be mortgage or home inspections, and kind of giving them a heads up on what to look out for, not mm-hmm. just right now, but, you know, in the future. And that's something I'm sure that you come back, you know, you do a home inspection for someone who's buying a house right now. Maybe they notice things a few years down the road. Are you still available to go out and help maybe do some inspections and look at those?
I would assist them on that if need be. Yeah. And the one thing, too, always take time at the end of mm-hmm. the inspection if the buyers are with me.
Yeah.
And we'll do a Q&A.
Right.
And if there's anything they want to see, and I talk to them about things that I think are important.
Right.
That definitely need to be addressed. Just kind of give them a short synopsis of, you know, of what the inspection report's going to look like.
Yeah.
I had one just the other day that up in the attic, the house had a, what's called a conditioned or engineered environment
okay.
where the entire roof system was insulated with spray foam.
Okay.
And that's just a whole different condition and environment now in the attic that's created for energy savings.
Right. So most people are doing like blown-in insulation fiberglass on like the attic flooring, right? And so spray foam is actually into the rafters.
It's on the roof deck.
Yeah,
yes,
okay.
Absolutely. And, you know, what I was telling him was, I was explaining to him what it was, and I said, what I would do if I were you, and I recommend you do this, is find out who installed the system. Mm-hmm. Give them a call, because you'll need to understand what things to look for and how to maintain that environment so it functions properly.
Right.
Because if it's not any, just like a conditioned closed crawl space,
mm-hmm.
if it's not maintained properly, it's not going to function properly.
Right.
And then you're just going to have some of the problems that you were, you know, that you had installed the system to prevent.
Right. So maybe things like something like, correct me if I'm wrong, but with spray foam, making sure you're bringing in fresh air because it is a closed environment.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, great for maybe some heating and air conditioner bills and kind of the some other benefits of it, but certainly you want to be bringing fresh air in, right?
It's definitely an engineered system.
Okay, yeah.
And there's all the components have to work together properly.
Yeah.
And, you know, the only way you can get that information is to seek it out from either the company that installed it
right.
or a service provider that has experience with that.
Yeah, so great example of really kind of understanding the profession, knowing what to look out for. I think, you know, even your seasoned home buyer is not going to really understand what maybe a closed encapsulated roof or crawl space real system is until, you know, you go in there and kind of explain what it is and then what they should be looking out for now and in the future.
Right. Yeah, because it's, like I said, it's relatively new.
Sure.
Systems and components that are being installed, to prevent. Basically, it's for energy savings.
Yep.
and, you know, preventing any kind of, in a crawl space, you want to prevent any kind of moisture.
Right.
But, again, if those systems don't work properly, I've been in brand-new homes. Folks hadn't even closed yet. Went into the crawl space. It was a condition-engineered environment.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't working. It was full of fungal growth.
Oh, no.
So, you know, if it doesn't work properly.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something you just got to maintain and understand how to maintain that.
So when doing that, because they are becoming more popular in the crawl spaces, at least for sure, like encapsulated closed crawl space, what are the things that aren't being done correctly? So maybe some of these home buyers could be on the lookout for when to acquire, you know, fungal growth in the crawl space, which should kind of be closed and well done.
Yeah, basically, if the again, if the system is not maintained properly and closed,
yeah.
If say you leave the crawl space door open,
right?
You know, you could have
could
adverse effects with that.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be enough. A plumbing leak,
mm-hmm.
Anything that can create moisture or allow outside air to get into that conditioned space,
right?
You know, it can just be problematic. The best thing I'd tell people is, you know, whoever installed the system, the service provider, installer, get in touch with them.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them how often you may need to have this checked.
Yeah.
You know, for potential problems, and let them come out and service it for you.
Right. Excellent. Great information so far, John. I really appreciate you being here. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. We've got, going through all the fantastic uses of a home inspection, why and how. Certainly we recommend, you know, it's important to note, Johnny, that home inspections when buying a house are not mandatory. You know, they
right.
are optional. But, you know, in the mortgage world and the real estate world, as a home buyer, I mean, it really shouldn't be optional. Too many things, like we already discussed. You know, this is going to be the largest purchase, most likely that of any of these home buyers will make, and just to make sure their investment is well taken care of. So important to note, it is not mandatory; it is optional. But I think we would probably both agree that, you know, it really should be mandatory.
Well, it'd be great for us if it was.
Right.
I mean, but it's not mandatory. A good percentage of the inspections I've been doing for the past few year now come in on a 1 year inspection.
Mm-hmm.
Folks have bought new construction and they're coming up on their 1 year walkthrough.
Really?
Or 1 year warranty.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first things I ask when I get to a property like that is, did you have the home inspector prior to, you know, closing?
Yeah.
About 50% of them, 50% or more, say no.
Really?
And so at least that way I know that the house has not been inspected at all, you know, by a home inspector.
Right.
And if so, you know, they may give me information at that time, you know, about certain things that have been done, or I can see that things were done, you know, maybe from the home inspection prior to their closing. But, I do a good bit of that, actually. And it's find some of the same problems.
Yeah, you know, that's what I was going to ask.
That have been there for
a
year. I mean, it'll be structural. It'll be plumbing.
Yeah.
Heating and air.
And that's a situation where, you know, in buying a new construction, you're always going to get a one-year walkthrough with the builder. You know, typically that's the builder coming through the house, you know, maybe repairing some drywall nail pops, you know, through the drywall, that type of thing. So what you're definitely suggesting is getting that extra home inspection 1 year in, because you're still under warranty with the builder. So if there's anything, you know, that jumps out or wrong with the house, whether it be foundation or anything else, the builder's going to still take care of that. Right.
Yeah. And, you know, now that you've been in a house for nearly a year,
mm-hmm.
You've gone through the change of seasons.
Right.
And,
and in our area, of course, it's been summer,
winter. Exactly.
Yeah.
But the house has now had time to react to all the systems and components working together.
Right.
And you'll see things during that time. I tell people all the time, I'm like, look, you know, yes, a new house, but in that first year, you will see some changes.
Yeah.
It's just going to happen. And, but yeah, all the systems are kicking in. And really, it's that 1 year walkthrough, that's one of your best chances to get them back in and
right.
get things done.
Yeah. When you are looking through the home inspection, is there anything that, and the buyers, you know, probably most in the experience, probably most everything is, you know, a list of things that maybe could or should need to be fixed, or is there anything out that really jumps out that says, hey, these particular issues, like, have to be addressed?
Yeah, most of those are going to be structural.
Yeah.
And heating and air, you know, in an existing home, depending on the age of the unit mm-hmm. or the installation of the unit, sometimes, you know, I can look into like a gas furnace and I'm seeing rust.
Yeah.
Rust is definitely, you know, tells you that something is going on and you want that looked at immediately
right.
or prior to closing. Because rust generally, you know, as I understand it from talking to heating and air guys, that rust is an indicator the unit may not be functioning properly.
Sure.
So that would mean it could be improper combustion, improper ventilation. Mm-hmm. It could be moisture, condensation
right.
forming inside the unit. And all of that can lead to the production of carbon monoxide.
Really?
Yes, which you do not want to have.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yes. It could also indicate, you know, give you indication to check the heat exchanger for mm-hmm. cracks.
Okay.
But anytime you deal with gas-fired appliances, whether it's a fireplace, water heater, furnace, and you've got any kind of indication of something that just that doesn't look right.
Yeah.
Or there's something visible that says, yeah, we need to get this looked at. It's pretty imperative to get that done.
And is there a shelf life on, you know, roofs and HVA systems that you're kind of making home buyers aware of? Hey, it's XYZ or X old. You should look to have it replaced in a certain time frame. Anything like that that comes up?
Yeah, typically a rule of thumb that the industry uses is 15 years,
okay.
plus or minus. You know, that's on heating and air, water heaters, and even some roofs.
Yeah.
Truthfully, anymore, looking at roofs and whatnot, if you can get 20, 25 years out of a roof, you've done well.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, if you can get that much time out of them, you've gotten your money's worth. But same thing with the appliances. And I tell people, too, and it's also included in my report, if you've got an appliance that's at least 10 years old,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it's electric, powered, gas-fired, once it hit 10 years old, it just kind of seemed to be a benchmark, you know, that you need to get it looked at because it's getting close to the end of its serviceable life.
Right.
And, it can be working fine today and gone tomorrow.
Yeah. So on that same day, talking about the age of, you know, the equipment in the house, is there concerns of buying an older home, whether it be, you know, very old? I think before we kicked off the radio show, Johnny, you were telling me about how you inspected actually a home from the late 1700s. Is
mm-hmm.
that right?
Yes.
Which is amazing. I would probably bet you, correct me if I'm wrong, probably built them a little bit better back in the day then, yeah?
You'd be surprised.
Okay, yeah, okay.
They're still standing.
Yeah. So, but are there any concerns with buying an older home?
Yes, and, you know, when you're looking at some of the older homes, some of the things you have to look at, of course, is the plumbing.
Yeah.
A lot of the old plumbing materials, they're just outdated now. They're corroded.
Yeah.
Some of the metals that they use, like copper and galvanized steel, you'll see a lot of that in an older home. They're joined together. Those are not compatible metals, and they'll corrode.
Yeah.
And then you've got a leak situation.
Right.
The other thing with older homes is wiring. You know, you just see old wiring components, old panel equipment that's antiquated.
Mm-hmm.
And knob and tube wiring, of course, anytime you see that, you know, you definitely want to get it looked at because some knob and tube still in service in some of these older homes.
How would you go about – so if you inspect a home and, you've got some galvanized steel and copper, you know, mesh, and you see some corrosion, or if you've got, you know, the knob and tube, electrical wiring, are those things that can be fixed, or are you having to kind of like break open walls to redo all that?
Well, pretty much anything can be fixed.
Okay.
And it's just a matter of, you know, what's it going to take to do that?
Right.
And sometimes they may have to go through a wall, they may have to go through the floor, they may have to go through – you know, the ceiling to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it can be done.
Right.
And particularly with plumbing, you know, you'll see new plumbing in older homes, you know, a good bit that's been retrofitted.
Yeah.
One of the other things, too, that comes to mind since we were talking about that was occasionally in some of the older homes, you still run into some asbestos material.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're not looking for hazardous materials, but if I see something like that's suspected asbestos, I'd definitely put it in the report.
Yeah, and that's another kind of fright word for homebuyers, right? You know, mm-hmm. you hear all these negative things about asbestos. What can you give us a quick definition of what that actually is and what are the issues with it?
Well, it was used basically for insulation.
Okay.
And occasionally in some of the older homes, you'll see it on the water pipes. Mm-hmm. It breaks down, and if it breaks down, the particulates can become airborne.
Okay.
And that's when it can be circulated really through the house.
Gotcha.
And
assuming not something that you want to be breathing.
No, truthfully, I've been in some homes when I've seen asbestos and I just turned around and walked out.
Wow.
Because it's just not something that, you know, particularly if it's been disturbed. It needs to be remediated, you know, by a qualified technician. But occasionally you do run into that. Just trying to think of the other things with an older home. One of the things that you run into in his homes that are not relatively that old is some of the PEX plumbing pipes that have been used in homes.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain ones that were involved in class action, whether it be the pipe or the fittings that were used. They've had some problems with both.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen instances where the brass fittings actually start to display the corrosion or the discoloration. And that's an indication that the fittings are actually going through a process that's called desinkification. And basically the metals are running from each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to get out. But usually when you see that on the outside of the fitting, it's probably corroded inside the fitting already.
Sure.
Which could result in leaks and low water pressure.
Yeah. Interesting. So big deal problems, small problems on home inspections. You know, how do we, you know, delineate between the two when we're looking at that home inspection as far as and buying a house? You know, I've got a list of things. What are things I need to be requesting the seller to fix right away versus maybe the things that I can hold off on and maybe do down the road just to get the deal done?
Yeah, and part of that comes up into the comfort level of the buyer.
Yeah.
You know, because some buyers are pretty handy.
Right.
You know, and they'll see things that they can take care of or, you know, defer any type of repair. Or they're just like, yeah, I really don't want to ask for that. But
right.
Really, as far as what they can ask for, that comes down to, you know, the purchase contract. And that's where they need to refer to their realtor,
right.
You know, for that advice. Because, you know, I don't give them any advice on what they can ask for and what they can't. I just show them, you know, what I'm seeing.
Right.
And then, you know, the things that are negotiable, they need to defer to their realtor for that advice.
Yeah, yeah, fantastic. And that's a great point. We talk a lot about that on the show as far as having an expert team, you know,
mm-hmm.
Representing you in all transactions. And that's, you know, your real estate agent, your lender, your home inspector, the attorney. And it really does make a very big difference when you have a qualified expert team who genuinely cares for, you know, the client. I think you'd probably agree in your industry that maybe not always is the case, certainly not always the case in my particular industry, but having that team of qualified individuals who are all working together for the benefit of the client just makes such a big difference.
It does. It makes a huge difference. And, you know, you've got someone to – you just have a go-to person.
Right.
And, you know, when you have questions, you know, what – from my perspective, if there's a crack in the foundation wall, you know, it looks like a hairline crack, this buyer may say, no big deal.
Right.
The other buyer may go, oh, I want that looked at.
Yeah.
So, you know, all I do is give them the information and let them decide what's important to them. You know, and then they can decide what they want to, you know, ask for or negotiate. And
Show them what it is, educate them on possibilities, and let them make the decision.
Yeah, right.
And that's of course, you know, all we can do, right? But hey, if you want a expert team working with you, if you're buying or selling a home, be sure to call us anytime, 704-999-6646. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. We've got Johnny K with Arrow Home Inspection Services here in the studio with us talking about home inspections and all the benefits and why home inspections should be mandatory. If you are buying a home, you need to be getting a home inspection. You need to be calling someone, an expert like Johnny K. Johnny, is there any things that the home inspection doesn't cover for the buyer? Or is that maybe a kind of a weird question to ask? Is there anything, you know, outside the scope of a home inspection that maybe home buyers may think that would be kind of be looked at?
Yeah, actually a couple of things that, you know, that I get asked on occasion is, as we talked about earlier, is the fungal growth, which, you know, a lot of people just blanket terminology, use mold for that,
but
it's fungal growth.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually not part of the home inspection.
Okay.
But if there's damage from that, then we report then the damage.
So great point. Thank you so much for the clarification. There's a couple things you're not looking at. Fungal growth, you're looking at maybe the damage of what that could be.
Right.
So if you see fungal growth, sometimes mold, you know, or fungal growth in general, what are you recommending for that?
If I just see fungal growth on a surface, whether it be floor framing or a wall, what I do is I'll note it, take a picture of it so they can see it, and tell them if they have any concerns, any questions in regards to this related to health issues, then they need to consult, you know, an industrial hygienist or, you know, a mold remediation company.
Right.
You know, you want that to go to a trained professional.
Right.
So I direct them in that way, you know, when I see that.
So again, making sure that I think a true expert, Johnny, like yourself, you know, like what I try to be in the mortgage world is knowing exactly where our expertise begins and ends. Right. And so, when you see that fungal growth, you know, your understanding is to make sure, hey, we get a qualified mold remediation specialist here in to see, tell us exactly what's going on, to do the lab work, you know, if need be. You know, I think sometimes maybe we can get a little bit of ahead of ourselves and maybe give the wrong, you know, diagnosis when maybe we should be bringing in another expert in, right?
Right, because it would be, you know, once we make, you know, an observation, you know, and recommend a direction for it, then we're telling them, you know, hey, you need to get a qualified person in here.
Yeah.
And let them take a look at it to see exactly what needs to be done, if anything, and how it should be, you know, how it should be repaired or remediated.
Right. So another thing is the pest inspection, looking for maybe termites or any pests, right? Is that something that you do, or is that something that's against someone else?
I was actually getting ready to address that as a follow-up to that question, because a home inspection is not a pest inspection.
Okay.
It's not an appraisal.
Yes.
And, you know, occasionally I run into some folks that think that substitutes for that, but it does not. No, anytime you're buying a home, you should get a pest inspection.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah.
And of course, the appraisal, you know, that's up to the lender.
Right. Yeah. We'll always require that for sure. Yeah.
But, But yeah, some folks do. They do assume that, you know, that is included in home inspection, but it's not.
Okay. Do you also provide a pest inspection, or is that typically from a separate specific pest inspection company?
It's from a separate company.
Okay. Yeah. Fantastic.
I just like having a, you know, that's what they do.
Is that something that you'll kind of pick up while you're doing a home inspection? Maybe you see some rotten wood or something like that, and you can say, hey, you know, you need to bring a separate pest inspection company to look at some termite damage.
If I see evidence of what they call wood destroying organisms,
yeah,
I'll put it on the report.
Yeah,
but I recommend them straight to a pest control company.
Fantastic.
Because that's who needs to come in and actually do that part of the, you know, the
right.
inspection and do the identification.
Yeah,
and make their repair request or, you know, their recommendations as well.
Yeah, and certainly even recently I've gotten a few home inspections that have shown some termite damage, and sure enough they went and had the pest inspection done on top of that and noticed there was a good bit of termite damage that needed remediation, and even some repairs needed to be done.
Yep. And, you know, there's a lot of similarities between the two inspections, but, mm-hmm. you know, they've got things they look at that we don't, and,
right.
you know, it's vice versa.
So, again, it comes back to making sure that, you know, you're working with an expert qualified team of individuals, mm-hmm. home inspection, pest, realtors, lenders. So again, we devote a lot of our time, you know, Johnny, to making sure that we're teamed up with true local experts in our industries and making sure that we're connecting our clients with said professionals. So with that, obviously you fit the bill. We thank you so much for joining us here in studio today, giving us this fantastic information. We appreciate you listening at home. If you have any questions after the show, give us a call, 704-999-6646. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. You've been listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. Here with Johnny K, Arrow Home Inspection Service. Be sure to give him a shout. Thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you next Saturday.
You've been listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio with Brandon Kohlberg, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, Antigua K's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Call Brandon at 704-999-6646 or visit Brandon Kohlberg online at carolinasmortgageradio.com. Join Carolina's Mortgage Radio again next Saturday morning beginning at 9 a.m. right here on WRHI FM 100.1.